Hello and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In 2009, Tara Greek was in the best shape of her life. She just finished training for an Ironman and successfully completed the grueling race. However, 2 weeks later, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. In this episode of Cancer Horizons, we'll hear from Terry, who took the endurance athlete mindset into cancer treatment and became what she calls an accidental advocate.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do, just to paint a little picture before we dig into the nitty-gritty of your story.
Sure. Well, I'm 61 now, which is fantastic. And ever think I'd live to be this old. But anyway, I live in St. Louis, Missouri, in a suburb, and with my husband. We'll be married 36 years. Oh. I have a son, 33, and a daughter, 29. No grandkids yet. I was a nurse at one point in my life, and right now, I love sports, always love sports, love to train. And right now I focus a lot of my energy on cancer research, raising money for cancer research and advocacy. And I sit on a number of boards and I just work on giving back and paying it forward.
Fantastic. So you said you've always been a huge fan of sports and training. Is there a certain sport that you like to participate in more than others? Is there one that you're truly passionate about more than others?
Yeah. So, I just did high school sports and things like that. And then, you know, got married, had kids, worked and all of that. And I kind of started running a little bit again. And then I ended up doing a marathon in 2002. I saw the Ironman on TV, and it was something, even as a young woman, I thought was very interesting, triathlons. And so ever since then, actually since about 2007 or so, I've just been interested in triathlons, which is a three-sport, if you would say, swim, biking, and running. And so I do a lot of that.
So what does the training regimen for triathlons typically look like for you?
Well, it depends what distance. There's four standard distances. I don't compete anymore. I participate, per se, and not even so much in triathlons as much anymore. I try and pick other challenging events that will push me physically and mentally now, and I usually try and do a fundraising component around it to bring awareness or to raise money for cancer research. Mm-hmm. But for, as far as triathlons go, there's four distances. There's sprint, Olympic, half Ironman, and full Ironman. So depending on which distance you decide to train for, that will determine your training regimen.
That sounds intense regardless. So take me through the timing of your cancer diagnosis, where you were in terms of, you know, either training or participating in these triathlons, regardless of the distance. Just paint a picture for me, please.
I started doing marathons in 2006, and then I did my first Ironman triathlon in 2008. Mm-hmm. If you know what an Ironman is, it's a 2.4-mile open water swim, mm-hmm. a 112-mile bike, and then you run a marathon, 26.2-mile run. So I had done one in 2008 and came very, like, fourth in my age group. And the third place woman qualified. I was, 47 at the time, qualified for the world championship in Kona, Hawaii. And she beat me by a few minutes. And I had no idea I was going to be you know, fairly good at this. So I thought my goal was to qualify for the world championship. So I took the next year and trained, and I knew I wasn't feeling great. I wasn't really sure what was kind of going on. Some days I'd feel really good. Other days I'd feel bad. I started having some bleeding. I thought maybe it was hemorrhoids. I'd get an injury. It seemed like it would take a long time to heal. And so when I went back and did the same race in 2008, I was 10 minutes slower, but my symptoms had gotten worse. The bleeding was much worse and just malaise and that type of thing. So I said I would go see a doctor. So I went 2 weeks. This was in early September of 2009. I went and saw a doctor, and he said we need to do a colonoscopy. And I woke up from the colonoscopy, and there was a huge tumor. And from there, I went and had a CAT scan, and got the results from the CAT scan that evening. And the colorectal cancer had already spread to my liver, so I was stage 4. And this was all 2 weeks post having completed an Ironman at a very respectable time. So our bodies are absolutely amazing, and so that was kind of, so when I was diagnosed, I was in, I used to say it was kind of like a Lance Armstrong, you know, when he was diagnosed in the midst of his competitive cycling. But anyway, I was in fantastic, best shape of my life. I mean, really.
Right.
And I had cancer throughout my whole body. So it's crazy.
Seriously. And do you think you being so in tune with your body kind of helped you recognize something isn't right?
Well, so I was 48 at the time for colorectal cancer. Then back then the screening age was 50. Now it's 45.
Right.
I'm very much in tune with my body. Part of the mentality of being an Ironman like that is that you push through just about anything. And I always say, you know, it's really a four-sport. It's swim, bike, and running, but it's also training your brain. It's also a mental sport. So I think, yes, did I know what was going on with my body, or was I in tune with my body? Yes, but was it part of my competitive nature and personality to persevere and push through it? Absolutely.
So it's interesting that, you know, you were almost riding that high of just competing, and then you received your diagnosis. So what was going through your head the entire time, you know, knowing you made such a great time, and then, oh, by the way, you're diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer?
You know, back then it was a 5-year survival rate of 6%. So I figured I did not have a whole lot of time left. I mean, it was basically, let's find the best care that I can get. And let's do this and go after it, and live life to its fullest every single day. I mean, I figured my days on Earth were limited. So, that was kind of I never dreamt I'd be here today.
Exactly. So speaking of treatment, what treatment did you undergo for your disease?
So when I was initially diagnosed, I did a week of short course radiation, and then I did five rounds of FOLFOX chemotherapy. I was very fortunate that my body responded well, and I think this had to do with a lot of exercise and being in good shape, responded well to the chemo. So I became a surgical candidate. So I had a colon resection and liver resection, and then I finished up the 12 rounds of FOLFOX. And then I went on maintenance chemotherapy with Avastin and Xeloda for almost an additional, 9 years, 9+ years.
Wow. So throughout that, the treatment that you received, which was obviously probably taking a beating on your body, did you continue exercising in some degree?
Absolutely. Yes. As much as, so, I mean, that was the other thing. I think I was very fortunate that my medical team knew that movement and exercise was very important to me. You know, I wanted to keep my life as normal as possible. So I continued, you know, when I had the surgery, of course, I had to stop everything for a while and then, you know, build back up. But through the chemotherapy and all that, I would swim, I would bike, I would run, I'd get on the trainer with my chemotherapy infusing in me at home, because I would come home 48 hours with the pump, with the infusion pump, and I'd get on the bike, and, you know, I just would adapt to what my body felt I was able to do, what I could tolerate. But I continued, and to this day, I continue to, I don't call it training necessarily anymore. I like to kind of consider it more movement, but
right.
I still, you know, run twice a week, bike at least twice a week, and swim at least twice a week. So, yeah.
Did you notice the amount that you were able to, as you call it, do movement throughout your treatment? Did it kind of lessen to what you were doing before you were diagnosed with cancer and received treatment?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you can't keep the training load. You know, of course, there's a training program and you build towards a race. But when I was diagnosed in September, I set a goal of doing a half Ironman the following year. So September of 2010, I did a half Ironman. So I did, you know, I did increase my training load come this post the surgery when I was able to. And I started training specifically for a half Ironman, which is, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. But
a year later, I did the World Championship Ironman in Kona, Hawaii.
And isn't that the one that's deemed the most difficult?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw some research on that as well. Where, I mean, it's a huge undertaking for your body and obviously for your mind. I thought an interesting thing you said was that it's kind of a four sport competition where you're also training your brain. How do you? You kind of alluded to this earlier, but how do you think training your brain to do something like an Ironman also prepared you to kind of endure cancer treatment, you know, the side effects, the mental strain, the physical strain?
There is a certain mentality that goes along with it, that, you know, it's the grit, it's the perseverance, it's the endurance, it's being able to break. Like in an Ironman, if you look at that race, it's a three sport race, and then each one has quite a distance. So, you know, initially when I went into it, I said, okay, let's, you know, for me, the radiation was one sport, the surgery was a second sport, and the chemotherapy was a third sport. So, you know, you kind of get through one, and then you move to the next. And then even within the one, you have to break that down into something that most people are familiar with is a marathon. But when you start a marathon, you don't want to think about mile 26. You know, you're going to think about getting through mile number one. Mm-hmm. And once you get to the first mile, then you do the second mile. And so and then, you know, maybe at mile three that there's an aid station. And, you know, and then you have people cheering you along the way, and you have support, and I just really broke it down and kind of went with the same game plan, training plan, game plan as I would for a competition.
So tell me where you're at right now. You mentioned, obviously, you did the half and then you ran four world marathons after you underwent treatment. Where are you with your disease state now and with movement?
Actually, in the fall, I was 5 years without treatment, and I have no evidence of disease at this point.
Fantastic.
So that's where I am. I haven't had a procedure or any chemotherapy or treatment for 5 years. So that is like absolutely a miracle and amazing. I don't compete in triathlons anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I do choose, like, last year I went rim to rim. Actually, I trained rim to rim to rim for the Grand Canyon. And then the year before, I did another endurance event called 2909, where you climb the equivalent of Everest.
Hmm.
I've done some, the triple bypass out in Colorado, raised money for cancer research. I've hiked a number of 14ers. So I'm just trying to find, or they seem to find me, really kind of interesting events to do. And not just to challenge myself, but to, you know, to, I don't know how much you know about colorectal cancer, but it's the second leading cause of all cancer deaths.
Yep.
And it's going to be, by 2030, it's estimated to be the number one cancer killer for 20 to 49-year-olds.
Hmm.
So my sister was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer 2 weeks after me.
Wow.
So I call myself an accidental advocate. And I saved my sister's life right out of the gate. And so that has been my... I just feel like that's my calling. I serve on a local board here in St. Louis for a huge bike ride that we do, where we raise millions of dollars every year for cancer research that stays right here in St. Louis. And then I serve on a national colorectal board for Fight CRC.
Awesome.
So I try and give back locally, and then I try and give back on a national level. Of my time, and energy. So, and that's, you know, I don't, for me, it's, you know, it's about paying it forward. You know, it's my story's a little bit old now. I don't get as many, but for a long time I would travel the country and do inspirational speaking and just talk about raising awareness. And, you know, it's just, I was thrilled when you reached out to me, because I don't, I don't get a ton of requests anymore, which is great. I kind of feel like hopefully there's other people doing bigger and better things to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of fun when you called. I'm like, oh, okay. I haven't talked about this in a while. This is cool.
Yeah. And you're definitely bringing awareness to the space. You're doing incredible things. So I'm just curious, because obviously not everyone is a trained athlete. Not everyone aspires to do Ironman. Let's say for the everyday person who maybe wants to start, you know, walking once in a while, maybe doing a run, especially during cancer treatment after receiving a cancer diagnosis, what type of advice would you give them?
So I would, you know, of course you have to talk to your doctor.
Of course.
And your healthcare team to see what, you know, what you're capable of. But I just think movement is key. It doesn't have to be an exercise routine. It doesn't. And I was very fortunate in that, chemo was extremely tough and my surgery was really, really tough. But, if you can just start by walking to the mailbox and getting the mail, just inch by inch, just little changes are so, so important. If it's a beautiful day, you start, like I said, go to the mailbox and go to the end of the street, then go just little by little. You just have to, something is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do. And don't compare what you're doing to anybody else. It's you. It's nobody else that's doing this. So I just think that it's the one exercise or movement, whatever, is the one thing that has been overlooked and understudied in cancer treatment. And it's the only thing that separates me from everybody else out there, or, mm-hmm. you know, the few others that were like me. And more is not necessarily better, but you need to do something.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook at Cure Today, Twitter at Cure_Today, and Instagram at Cure Today.